Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Saturday mornings, Jim Valley, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, and, of course, Sundays with Andrew Zarian. And it is Wednesday here on the show. You know what that means? We got a lot to get into. Tonight is Dynamite. Got a lot to talk about for the show tonight. Got 7 segments announced for the show. And, of course, this is all building up the Double or Nothing pay-per-view coming up at the end of this month. We have got the Double or Nothing lineup. And, in fact, we might be able to talk a little bit about AEW. But we'll mostly be talking about New Japan's show this weekend with our special guest in the final segment of the show, Rocky Romero, joining us once again, basically a co-host at this point. But we'll be talking about Resurgence, the Jon Moxley IWGP World Heavyweight title match, Eddie Kingston, Gabe Kidd, No Rope, Last Man Standing, and more. So that is coming up later on here in this program. And we have got all of the news from the last couple of days, including the NXT show from last night. Talk about that combine, that worked combine. Tony Khan did an interview. Yes, he was asked about if he should wrestle. Spoiler, he said no, and he's right. More on WWE and Saudi Arabia. They got a new agreement coming up, and we may see a major WWE PLE heading overseas. They make a lot of money. They're going to be sending something over there. We got someone drafted to SmackDown. Not you would expect. We've got the Raw ratings from Monday night and plenty more. If you want, text us today, 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. Brian at WrestlingObserver.com, F4WOnline at gmail.com. And hey, don't forget, I am F4WOnline on Threads, Instagram, and Cameo. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 4125.
Remember in the beginning, when you first started to build a life for you and your family, you never imagined it would come to this. Instead of living your dreams, You're living with debt. In fact, it's smothering you. Now there's a way you can take back control with one simple call. If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you qualify to receive a free, no-obligation consultation on how to get rid of that debt for good. Call the Debt Helpline now. We work on your behalf to reduce your debt. We specialize in credit cards, retail store cards, and medical bills. One simple call is all it takes to get the ball rolling to a debt-free life. Stop living with debt and start living your dreams. Call the Debt Helpline now.
800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. 800-943-2153. That's 800-943-2153.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com.
You seem pleased.
I'm not pleased. I was just watching Ric Flair in the diner.
Oh, God.
Did you guys watch this? It's ridiculous. So something happened. Something happened at the diner. I guess, some guy was in the bathroom too long and Flair got mad. And then there's the footage of Flair cutting a promo on this guy that works there. And he is cutting a promo. Like, he's cutting a promo. He wants the guy to, you know, come around to the other side, I guess, to fight. He's, you know, Flair, I wasn't there, but he appears drunk. The lady there says he's cut off.
Safe bet.
And then, like, in the end, he's yelling to this guy. And he's calling him very, very bad names. I can't say here on the air. A Richard Head, among things.
What's your name?
And then,
Nicholas.
And then lady.
Nicholas D. Head?
And then he gets accused of cussing. He goes, I didn't cuss. I'm like, you just did. What are you talking about? Same. And then he keeps going on and on. And finally, this other guy sitting at the bar, two people down from Flair, because Flair tells the kid, why don't you step outside? And the guy goes, I'm not stepping outside. And so a guy, two dudes down from Flair, he's next to him at the bar. He goes, you want to step outside with me? I don't work here. I don't care. And Flair says, what? What did you say? The guy goes, are you deaf? And then they start going at it. I'm like, oh my God, what is going on? So anyway, he got booted out, then he got mad, and then it was all over the media. And the update here today, I guess Flair wants to buy the restaurant, he claims. That'll solve the problem. He was involved in an incident with staff at the Paisanos location in Gainesville, Florida over the weekend. He posted a video to social media. Actually, it was a post, saying he had been asked to leave the restaurant following an altercation with the kitchen manager in the bathroom. Footage of Flair berating the restaurant's manager leaked online yesterday, but does not show the altercation between him and the kitchen manager. Flair says the kitchen manager approached him in the bathroom. Flair said, I'm like, I don't shake hands or take photos in bathrooms. After this, Flair said the kitchen manager went to a restroom stall and was texting away minutes later. Not allowed to text. In Flair's social media post about the incident on Sunday, he said he took issue with the kitchen manager taking too long in the bathroom. And then another staff employee approached him after he left the washroom. Called him a creep and a peeping Tom, he said. You tell me someone in 2024 called him a peeping Tom? Not going to tolerate that, and you wouldn't either, Flair said. That's a pretty offensive remark. I'll be honest with you, I was angry because I didn't do anything wrong. It's my word against a kitchen employee. It makes no sense. I admit to everything I said. I have no problem with it because I was mad. And yes, he tried to tip $1,000 to the lady there. I don't know if she was a server or whatever. But then they had the issue with the guy that wanted to call him out. So where did everybody watch this? I watched it on TikTok. Where did everybody else see it?
Well, it was probably the same TikTok footage that got uploaded to X and all these other social media places. So I'm sure most people probably either saw it on the gram or saw it on TikTok.
Well, the reason I asked was, you know, wherever you saw it, everybody, I mean, did you get the one with the subtitles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which were not what exactly was that? Accurate.
Yeah, he called the guy an Egyptian.
Well, it's AI, you know.
Yeah.
It's yeah, well,
I hate those subtitles because you read the subtitles and like they're so wrong.
Oh yeah.
And then he says something else and you're like, he called him an Egyptian? What? Anyway, Flair says I got the money to buy the restaurant. It's gonna be called Ric Flair's Italian Bistro.
Who's he gonna borrow it from?
Oh, he's got the money, Mike.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Is he paying his taxes this time?
I mean, I don't know, but that's what he says.
Oh, that's
I bet he's not buying the restaurants to pull.
He says a lot of things, including a lot of lies, so I don't know.
Anyway.
Sad.
Yep,
sad.
That was a pretty depressing situation.
75-year-old man.
Yeah.
That could be for some of you. I mean,
hey, he's lucky that guy didn't take up his offer to go outside. That could have been bad.
Somebody's great-grandparent right there, drunk at the bar and...
At Paisano's.
At Paisano's.
At a pizza place.
In Gainesville, Florida, probably near the campus of the University of Florida, because Ric Flair probably still thinks that he can pick up 20-year-old chicks because, woo, he's Ric Flair. It's amazing. And, you know, when they were hyping up Ric Flair's last match, all I could think of, if you haven't heard it, go listen to Charles Mingus, the clown, and... There's a lot of parallels there with Ric Flair, his life, and where it's going to ultimately end up.
I'm just reading the chat here as everyone's trying to figure out who would have won in a real fight between Flair and that guy at the bar.
The guy at the bar.
I don't know.
No, Ric Flair talks. Remember, if he wanted to fight so bad, he could have took the dude who called him out to go outside, but he didn't because this was all performance art from a very sad 75-year-old alcoholic man.
This person said he'd give him some chops and some suplexes, and this guy goes, nowadays everyone knows how to reverse the figure four. That is a good point.
It's true.
That
it's
is
true.
A good point.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wasn't
you
even going
to
start with that, but
I
literally was watching it again as we started the show. Who's the first man to reverse the figure four?
Yeah, who says at least he was.
I think the Druid in that YWF video that we played during the break.
Magnificent Don Morocco. He wasn't the first one, but he always loved bragging about that.
Hey, you know who's magnificent?
Jack Briscoe's figure four.
You know who was magnificent is Don Morocco.
He was.
I've been watching this guy in those. I got started watching wrestling a little after this Don Morocco period. But man, I swear to God, him and the Cowboy Bob Orton.
Yes,
they'd be the best team going today.
Absolutely,
they'd be the best team on Raw. The most charismatic. Don Morocco would be in. He'd be in the top as far as best promos in the Observer Awards.
He'd be in the Hall of Fame. He's in my personal Hall of Fame. He's one of those guys like Mass Superstar, Demolition Axe, Bill Eadie, and Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs, and Magnificent Morocco. Guys like that. That you know, they're right there towards the top tier. But you couldn't have had a lot of those top guys without him. I mean, he made Bob Backlund towards the end of his run. He made it entertaining. His feud with Jimmy Snuka was the biggest thing in the company, and man, could Don Morocco cut a promo back then. You would never believe it, and you'd never believe he could wrestle either, because you're getting the Rock version of Don Morocco, who was... How much do you think he weighed?
Oh, he was large.
He was
He was
huge,
enormous.
All muscle.
Now, I bring up WWF Challenge from 1986, because it brings me to this next story, believe it or not.
Is it awesome?
How will I tie it in? Well, you'll see.
All right.
Tony Khan is not stepping inside a wrestling ring anytime soon.
Not a good start.
Khan rejected the idea of wrestling a match following his on-camera angle last month with The Elite. The Young Bucks will be running AEW themselves on the road in storyline. He said, AEW is where the best wrestle, and we mean that. In this case, I'm not the best person to pay those people back. There's a lot of things I'm good at behind the scenes, but somebody else is going to have to avenge what those guys did, not only to me, but to Kenny Omega. I'm quite sure there are some capable wrestlers, more capable wrestlers than I am. Most of them. And that I can inflict some kind of punishment on the Young Bucks, Jack Perry, and Okada, The Elite. After what happened to me last time, I don't think I'd be making a smart move trying that, he added. And I bring this up because I just watched that WWF challenge where we saw the final match, the retirement. Literally for a long time. He actually eventually did come back. But the retirement of Captain Lou Albano, which was the most bizarre thing. Like, I will talk about the retirement of Lou Albano very quickly after the break if you guys haven't been listening to the Brian Vinny Show. But it was the wackiest thing I've ever seen. So we'll talk about that after the break. Saudi Arabia NXT, and then Rocky Romero's coming on. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. 800-867-6917. That's 800-867-6917.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
So these WWE Challenge shows, WWF Challenge from 86, we're on episode 11 right now. And, you know, the first half dozen episodes, just, you know, matches, nostalgia, squash matches, you know, wrestlers rebuttal, snake pit, whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden, like 2 weeks ago, just randomly, totally randomly in the middle of the show, last week actually, Bobby Heenan goes, "I got a scoop for y'all. Captain Lou Albano is going to come on here later on, and he's going to tell you he's retiring, he's leaving the business." And Gorilla Monsoon, the babyface commentator, is like, "What are you talking about? You're such a gimmick, blah, blah, blah." And so, you know, they go to commercial, and they come back, and they come back, and Gorilla's totally changed his tune. He goes, "Looks like we're about to hear from Captain Lou Albano, who appears to be leaving the wrestling business." And they go to Captain Lou, and just like out of nowhere, Captain Lou goes, "Next week, we're going to have a six-man, and I'm done. I'm retiring. I'm retiring as a wrestler and a manager, and I'm going to hand over my duties to Matilda." And they just cut away. I went, "What? What?"
That's the way you extinguish the guiding light?
What is going on? Like, this is Lou Albano, you know, a year after the Rock and Wrestling Connection. Huge, gigantic star. And they're like, he's just going to, you know, like, retire next week. Okay, what's the gimmick? So it's no gimmick. The next week, they just did a six-man, and he lost, and he was gone. He didn't come back for, like, 6 years. He came back as, like, a manager or whatever, and then disappeared again. That was it. That was the end of his career. Yeah. That was the craziest end to a career I've ever seen. And the point is, they do this match, and he's teaming with the Bulldogs. And he's facing, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But the point is, everyone else does all the work. He stands on the apron the entire time. Bulldogs hit the big move. It was Beefcake and it was the Beefer and Valentine.
The dream team.
Yeah, and he just, you know, they tag him in, he goes and he gets a pin. That's it. He doesn't do any, he doesn't take a bump. He doesn't sell. He doesn't do anything. He just goes in there, covers, and gets the win. And then he celebrates. And then they go backstage and they, you know, shoot alcohol over him, try and drown him.
You love that.
And that's it. That was the end. Well, but anyway, the point is, like, if we found out tomorrow, if suddenly word broke out that, WBD hired Jamie Kellner, and he's like, "It's over. I'm canceling AEW. It's done." And, like, the company was just, like, going out of business. Well, that should be the main event of the final show. It should be Tony Khan, Kenny Omega, and some other babyface against Jack Perry and the Young Bucks, and Hangman, Kenny Omega do all the work. They beat up those Young Bucks. They hit the V trigger and the Buckshot. Tagging Tony, he covers, gets the pin. Everybody celebrates. They spray liquor, and the thing's over. It's done. That would be a fitting ending. But if they don't do that, he should never wrestle. Bad idea.
As long as he doesn't start blading himself like Lou, everything will be okay. It's amazing. Lou was going to have a job for the rest of his life, like Gorilla Monsoon and Arnold Skoland and Phil Zacco and those guys. When Vince bought the company from his father, Captain Lou was going to be one of those guys. And apparently, from all of the stories, Captain Lou would get fired every couple of weeks. And Bruno would, like, you know, because Lou would do something drunk and piss people off, piss off Vince McMahon Sr., some other people, and then he'd always come back into the fold again, but he left. And look, one of the reasons I think it was so unceremonious was the fact that Lou had a lot of outside activities that he did. Not only did he work with Cyndi Lauper when he came to Rock and Wrestling, but there was the whole multiple sclerosis connection that he continued to advocate for the rest of his career. He ended up doing the Super Mario Brothers TV show and a whole bunch of other things after that.
Yes.
So I'm sure a lot of that played into it.
So I want to mention a couple of things about NXT. As everyone is well aware, if you want the full report, you have to go to the Brian and Vinny show on Thursday night.
Oh, man, are there going to be graphs and charts and breakdowns?
No, but I got two things I got to talk about. So, you know, we talked about that worked combine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they didn't do the combine live. What they said was, the combine was this weekend. Here's clips. And so they showed just select clips. So you couldn't really compare anybody to anybody else. And so it was very easy to work it, basically.
That's not true. Thea Hale makes the funniest faces out of everybody.
She does.
In
she
NXT.
Does. But, you know, they showed three different clips, people pushing the sled, people throwing the ball.
Silly.
And, you know, they're explaining that, you know, surprisingly, they claim that they had this gimmick where it's like a rotational drill where you violently rotate with a punch or something like that. And they said,
it's like sanding on
surprisingly, Mee Chin came in first, hence why she is part of the OC on SmackDown or something like that.
You going to question her punch?
Yes! Are you kidding me? So they have the top 12 finishers, okay?
All right.
Now listen, I want to make it clear, I don't care, okay? It's a work. The storyline was, we're going to do a women's combine. The top 12 finishers will get seeded into this tournament to go on to the ladder match at whatever, to become the first NXT North American Women's Champion. So they make the list of the top 12 finishers. And I'm reading this list, and it's like, who wrote this? Bill Apter? I mean, this is what they had for the top 12. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
And this, by the way, is not just the top. This is in order, okay? If like, they're pretending they had a shoot combine with all sorts of different crazy power, strength, speed. And these are the top 12 finishers in order.
But are we taking it top to bottom or from bottom
yes,
to top?
Yes, top to bottom. Right. No, number one to number 12. Okay?
All right.
Number one, Sol Ruka, followed by Thea Hale, Jada Parker, Brinley Reese, Mee Chin, Fallon Henley, Lash Legend.
Wait, well,
Ivy Nile.
What?
Izzy Dame, Kalani Jordan, Tatum Paxley, and Ren Sinclair.
I got beef.
I have nothing against any of these individuals, but the reality is, okay, this is real life. For some reason, Hanalei started saying that at four. She'll say, for real life, Dad. Okay?
Okay, baby.
For real life, all right? Amichin is a world's better worker than a lot of these other women.
Hallelujah.
But this is a combine, okay? These are NIL athletes. These are high-level, young college athletes.
Oh, look at you being ageist.
And you're telling me, yeah, it is ageist, because I'm freaking old, and I know what happens when you get older. You ain't winning a combine at my age. You just aren't.
Oh, she's okay? Not your age? Don't insult her like that.
I know she's not, but the point is we're talking about people 19, 20, 21 years old here.
Right out of college.
Okay?
I know.
How in God's name, like, Lash Legend. They're telling me that Lash Legend finished seventh. Okay?
A little low.
Stop. Lash Legend would have finished 1, 2, and 3 if you'd have done this combine.
She's up.
Not seven. Ridiculous. These are animals.
Look,
Ren Sinclair's on here. Ren Sinclair, her name is literally, she's a bird. Ren.
Well, yeah.
She ain't finishing 12th. It's impossible. But anyway, the other thing I got to talk about,
mm-hmm.
NXT is one of those shows that I love, and they try so hard to make me hate it. I mean, they try so hard sometimes. Oh, my God.
Pro Wrestling University, Brian.
The segment that they did, let me see if I can...
Which one?
Well, I mean, there were a lot of them. If I have to mention one more time that they do not and refuse to identify Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Igwe, I mean, it has to be done to irritate me. It has to be. Like, they literally did a backstage segment early in the show with, like, six teams, and they didn't identify anybody. And I was like, okay, I know they debuted last week, You never told us their names until literally they did it one time during the ring entrance. It was like that and it was gone. And now we're supposed to remember, like, I was so mad. But anyway, it was actually with them. It was No Quarter Catch Crew versus Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Igwe. As God is my witness, I lived through TNA in the beginning. I lived through the last years of WCW. This was absolutely one of the most infuriating, stupid, horrifically booked segments I've ever seen in the history of Earth. And it's not any of the wrestlers' fault. It's just the fault of the whole company. Like, it was inconceivably bad. Like, I don't have time here. I'm sorry, everybody.
Come on,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You're full up to here. Like, let some of it out.
Oh, my God. I can't. Rocky's coming on.
Oh, come on. What a tease.
Bro, I'll just put it this way. The murderers, okay? The murderers.
Well.
The killers.
Cleaners.
No, they're murderers and they're killers. And they're baby faces.
Well.
And it made this whole thing the most preposterous, ridiculous mess. I was so angry. And Vic, I've hit my limit with Vic. Okay? The funny thing is, I like the guy. He seems like a nice guy. He's a pleasant listen.
Boom!
But this guy says some of the stupidest things. God bless him. Oh, my God. With that, we must go to Rocky. Back in a moment with more Observer Live.
Do you use the expensive blue or yellow pills to charge your sex life? Are you thinking about it? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pills deliver the exact same results for less than $3. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. And right now, radio callers will get 44 blue or yellow pills for $120 with free discreet shipping. You can save more than $700 off pharmacy prices. Charge your sex life now and save a ton of money. Call now and get your 44 pills and save over $700 and qualify for free shipping. Stop overpaying and call right now.
Paid for by Steel Man Pills. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Very happy today to be joined by Rocky Romero. We got a lot to talk about. Rocky, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying myself here in Edmonton. We got AEW Dynamite tonight live on TBS.
Oh, man, this is going to be an expensive call here. International. Edmonton.
I'm not paying for it.
You don't realize I went up there in, like, 2008 or something like that, and I forgot to put my phone on roaming, and I got an $800 bill. And I was like, what?
Ooh.
And my, how times have changed now. Times have changed. You know, it's also funny.
That's no problem.
Yeah, we talked to you on the show last time about how, my God, how many jobs do you have, dude? You got to, like, what's going on? And now you have another job. Working for AEW now.
Yeah, it's official. I'm vice president here and for show and talent coordination for AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's pretty wild. Wild times.
AEW, New Japan, CMLL.
Yeah.
Still doing any indie dates? Defy type?
No, there's just no time.
Yeah.
There's just no time. So fully devoted to the three companies, and I'm extremely busy and happy with that. And you know, I love doing the indies, I love going to Defy, but you know, there's just not enough time in the schedule anymore for it.
So we've got Resurgence coming up this coming Saturday.
Brian, before you go on,
because
you are not management, you've never been one to take any heed of management at all. You've always been a rebel. That's why you were in the professional wrestling business, out there on your own, got your own thoughts, wanting to do things. Rocky, what has this transition been like in 2024 and the couple of years before this with New Japan? What's it like now in this day and age being between talent and being between management, especially when you have to deal with international management?
Right. It has its challenges and, it has its rewards for sure. It's definitely a tough job and it's pretty demanding and, to be honest, it's a 24/7 job, but I do with it the best that I can, and I try to always be in the corner for talent, and because I understand what it's like to be on that side and how difficult it is to be a professional wrestler in this day and age and how demanding it is and the stress that comes along with it. But I also do understand where management's coming from, so I try to be as fair as possible and as neutral as possible when I can. And, I try to do the best job that I possibly can.
Just don't book Mustafa Ali against Brian Alvarez. Nobody will want to do a job, I've heard.
Stop.
I debunked that story. That was not a true story.
Hey, Ali's working this Saturday. Resurgence.
Sure is.
Leo Rush, kickoff match. When you got a show where Ali and Leo Rush is a kickoff match,
I'm in.
I mean, that's quite a show that you've got right there. A lot of matches available on pay-per-view on New Japan World. So if you have New Japan World, you can't just turn it on and watch it. You've got to get the pay-per-view through New Japan World. But it's relatively inexpensive. And, these shows, these U.S. New Japan shows, I mean, the last several shows have been really excellent shows. And if you look at the lineup here, I mean, it's a hell of a lineup. John Moxley defending the IWGP heavyweight title against a shooter after beating Ren Narita earlier in the week.
That's right.
This guy's turning into you. He's all over the place.
I know. He's all over the map. I love it.
Yep. And Eddie Kingston, Gabe Kidd, No Ropes, Last Man Standing match. Those are the top two matches there. And, how are these shows doing for New Japan? Because it seems like kind of doing this schedule where, every couple of months there's a pay-per-view, a lot of big matches. Seems like it seems to be doing well.
Yeah. No, Windy City Riot did extremely well. Extremely well. It was one of our best grossing pay-per-views. And obviously, attendance-wise, it was phenomenal in Chicago. as well as Battle in the Valley did extremely well, you know, in February. And this one is doing great as well in Ontario. You know, there's quite a bit of tickets out already. There's still some left if you're in the LA, you know, Inland Empire area. You know, this is a show you're not going to want to miss. The card is stacked, like Brian said. You know, you've got the top two matches with Mox and Shooter. You've got Eddie versus Gabe Kidd for the Strong Openweight Championship. The kickoff show is going to be incredible with Mustafa Ali and Leo Rush. Naito is going to be there. David Finley. We've got Kenta on the card. Tsuji. I mean, we've got a strong women's championship. Stephanie Vacker defends against Alex Windsor, who's a, you know, top standout from Rev Pro in the UK. I mean, it's just an extremely stacked card. We've got the return of Jack Perry along with the House of Torture, and you know, we've got a bunch of surprises that are definitely going to make their way through the Ontario area. So I'm just pumped, and like you said, you can watch it on NJPW World pay-per-view. And yeah, I think we're firing on all cylinders here in the U.S., and I just want to keep the momentum going. And, you know, obviously the relationship with AEW and TMO has been extremely fruitful, and we've got talent from both that are going to be there. And yeah, it's just I feel like the shows have really, really gotten to the point where, you know, I'm really proud of them, and I think the fans are digging in what we're doing.
So you've done the shows in Northern California, Southern California, Chicago, obviously. Chicago seems like a hot market. It seems like, I don't know if it's just the, you know, ease of getting to Chicago from so many different places or what it is, but Chicago always seems to do well, really, for everybody. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure you can't say a lot, but has New Japan discussed other areas for running these shows, maybe further up the West Coast? West Coast, obviously, easy if people are coming from Japan. But is it mostly just like Chicago, California at this point?
Yeah, Chicago, California. We've got D.C. in August, August 30th. There's Washington, D.C., which has been a great market for us. You know, I'd love to go back into the Northeast, you know, somewhere like New York. It's just, you know, it's tough, you know, just the way the world is right now. You know, it's really big buildings or extremely small buildings. So like a mid-sized company for like us, you know, it's hard to find a great setting and a great arena for the types of shows that we have. So that's always a challenge. And especially, you know, just the New Japan product is just best served in areas that are either hotbeds for professional wrestling or like that kind of bigger market, you know. So LA, of course, is like our home, so that always does well. But yeah, I mean, Chicago, I'd like to make a yearly thing. I think that the fans there just really love the product, and we need, you know, we haven't been there enough. You know, I think we've only been there twice, so I feel like that needs to be a yearly thing. And we're probably going to start looking at next April, every April, to do Windy City Riot from Chicago.
You know, there was what I thought was sort of an unusual thing. I mean, you could tell me otherwise if I'm wrong, but, you know, New Japan usually, if they've got a show coming up, it's like they put everything into that show, and then as soon as the show's over, then they'll start announcing things for the next show, as opposed to, you know, we've got all these shows, here are the lineups, and especially for, like, championship matches. I mean, they don't want to announce a championship match if there's another championship match taking place prior to it. It's kind of something they've always done. But it was interesting because, you know, John Moxley was scheduled to, you know, defend against Shota. But he also had the Ren Narita match prior. And AEW managed to get a John Moxley-Will Hobbs IWGP title match on Dynamite. Was that something that was easy to, was it just like, yes, New Japan, they were like cool with it? Or were they sort of like, you know, we'll do this one time, but this is very unlike how we like to do things?
Yeah, definitely not the traditional way of doing things in New Japan at all. You know, but when you've got a talent like Moxley, who's, you know, just a magnetic talent and somebody who, you know, his character and his personality is, you know, he's the type of guy who's not going to back down from anybody or anyone, you know, and especially as IWGP champion, I mean, I think he wants to, you know, his reign to be known as the guy who took the challenges when they came, you know. So I think it kind of fits overall the story and the story of who Moxley is. And I know there was some people who were critical, you know, of the IWGP title being defended that way. But, you know, I think that in the end, it you know, once the story is all done and it all kind of makes sense and work together, I think people, you know, they jump the gun kind of quickly instead of just sitting back and enjoying, you know, and seeing where it goes.
So Moxley obviously is the IWGP heavyweight champion. He's also working in AEW, and Eddie Kingston working in AEW and Ring of Honor. And he had three titles, and he still has the New Japan Strong Openweight title. And, you know, there are others. Lance Archer here is on the show fighting for the television title. He's in AEW. And my question is, you know, I think I've asked this before, but, like, Ghetto's largely booking all of this, correct?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So are you involved in any of the booking, or are you mostly the guy where he says, okay, this is what's going on, you know, you're going to kind of facilitate it here, but this is the idea?
You know, he's, you know, he's a great guy to work with because, you know, if I've got an idea and, you know, and I especially know where we're going to be and, you know, the size of the venue and what we're going to need, you know, he's pretty open to taking ideas and as well as taking ideas from, you know, AEW on how to, you know, build the relationship and how to get, you know, everybody closer together, especially when Forbidden Door is, you know, June 30th and it's just right around the corner. So, you know, all these storylines, you know, we've all got to be on the same page to make it all work because AEW is a weekly, you know, two shows a week or three shows a week. And then, you know, the New Japan touring schedule along with their big shows. And then you've got the U.S. shows, you know, on top of that. So it takes a lot of communication and it takes a lot of planning, you know. So
yeah, that's actually my question. I think
people feel like, it, you know, sometimes things are thrown together, but a lot of the stuff is planned out, you know, from, you know, months and months in advance.
Yeah, that was actually my question. I mean, it's one thing to book a promotion, you know. Okay, this person's going to be in a main event in 2 months, so we want to protect them in this way. We want to keep these two people away from each other. But, you know, especially with Moxley, you know, he's doing stuff in CMLL. He's doing stuff in New Japan. He's doing stuff in AEW. And he does his, you know, indie dates here and there, a lot less than before. But, I mean, is it difficult? I mean, I know it is, but, I mean, how difficult is it to shuffle all of these different things with all of these different characters working in multiple promotions?
I mean, it's extremely difficult, but the good thing is I think that, you know, this year we started planning a little earlier than we have in the past couple of years. So I think it's been a lot easier in getting everybody on the same page and knowing where we're all going to go, you know? So like I said, you know, a lot of this will probably, you know, build towards Forbidden Door. So I feel like, you know, knowing exactly what's going on going into that is extremely helpful. And then, you know, from there, kind of, you know, the companies kind of take their own routes usually, you know, if you compare it to last year and the year before. So, you know, it's just good to know where you're going, especially from Tokyo Dome to Forbidden Door, you know, Forbidden Door back to Tokyo Dome. You know, that's kind of like the key pieces, I think, that are important.
Well, very quickly, because we got like a minute here. In a match like Lawler and Rosser versus Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs, where their last match involved eating hair, I mean, is this a situation where, you know, Ghetto has an idea, but like they come up with the idea of eating hair? I presume that was not, or were, like,
well, Ghetto, like,
what's happening here? You should not be eating hair.
I don't think Ghetto was involved in if anybody was
okay.
Calling a shot of anybody eating anyone.
Yes, there was hair eating.
You know, that's the cool thing about New Japan is, you know, there's a lot of leeway and freedom in what you do when you're out there. So, you know, if the talent wants to go and eat some hair and shake somebody's head, I mean, it's all good to me.
All right, stand by, back in a moment with more Observer Live.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
And the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Rocky Romero joining us Saturday, May 11th, this coming Saturday, 9:30 Eastern. It is the New Japan Resurgence Show. Jon Moxley and Shooter Shota Umino for the IWGP Heavyweight title. Eddie Kingston, Gabe Kidd, no rope, last man standing match. Shingo versus Yuya Uemura for the Never Openweight title. 70 Vakir against Alex Windsor, New Japan Strong Women's title. Jeff Cobb, Lance Archer for the television title. Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste against Guerrillas of Destiny for the Strong Tag Team titles. Naito Yodasuji versus Kenton David Finley. The Hair Eaters, Tom Lawler and Fred Rosser against Jarrell Nelson and Royce Isaacs, as well as DKC. You, Rocky Romero and Ishii versus Jack Perry, Ren Narita, and Evil. Jack Perry is back for this show. And Mustafa Ali and Leo Rush and Matt Vandegrift and Adrian Quest on the kickoff show. So an amazing card, Rocky. And how can people watch this show?
Yeah, you can watch the kickoff show on YouTube and NJPW World. And then the main show will be on NJPW World pay-per-view. It's like $19.99. For what the card is, it's a great price, and it's a steal.
Brother, you take out this Jack Perry, you could get a raise.
I know. That's what I'm hoping.
Excellent.
I'm trying to run the world, man.
Booking another storyline here on this show. Well, Rocky, thanks so much for coming on today. We'll do this before the next New Japan show. Best of luck with AEW as well. Doing a lot. Keep it up.
Appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
Yeah, have a good one.
And that's
Thank
it.
You.
Yep, we're out of time, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Wrestling Observer Live.